Hello.
Oh, hello, Aileen. Can you hear me?
Hi. It is Austin. It's Aileen Tennant here in Dublin Zoo.
It is Austin and Noel here, Paul here, and we were talking about the Dublin Zoo as such. And maybe you can give us a little bit of information about the zoo itself. I know they've done very good television programs, and the series has been copied by other television stations, and about their zoo. But
I suppose the Zoo TV series has been very, very popular. I hope you saw it last night. It's on every Sunday at the moment at 6:30 at RTE1. And I suppose it documents the day-to-day life in the zoo and all the exciting things that happen in the zoo, as you say. And you're right, the zoo has changed. I think for a lot of people, it's a very different place in the last number of years. We've had some fantastic developments for our animals. I suppose last year we had the orangutan forest, which has a space for four orangutans and two Siamang gibbons. So it's a shared space for two species. And it has about five times more space than the original orangutan habitat had. And if you've been to the zoo recently, you'll see when you walk in the main gates, there's a stunning vista of some trees in the horizon. And in those trees, if you look very closely, you'll see our orangutans and our Siamang gibbons swinging from the trees. So that's been one of our latest developments, which really has transformed the day-to-day life of our beautiful orangutans and gibbons. So they spend their day swinging around and engaging with each other, and then of course the public love to see their natural behaviour as they swing in the trees. So that's one of our latest developments. Prior to that, you would have seen the Sea Lion Cove, which was opened in June 2015. So you'll see there's a bit of a trend. We try to open our new exhibits in time for the summer season so that the public, when we have our highest visitation, can get to see our brand new developments. So Sea Lion Cove is another exciting one because it was basically a transformation into a saltwater habitat for our California sea lions. And so that's a natural environment for those animals. So we're trying to replicate, I suppose, their natural environment in the wild. And that's an amazing feature because every day, if I ever walk past it, I see kids peering through an underwater viewing area for the sea lions. And that's, for people, is an amazing opportunity to see the natural behavior of the sea lions, but also for the sea lions to have another kind of interaction with the public. And stimulates them as well and keeps them engaged as they go about their day-to-day. So there are two of some of the recent developments.
Yeah, and of course you have the African plains, etc., with regard to the little islands and all different, trying to replicate, as you say, the natural environment from where they...
Yeah, the African plains is an absolutely amazing space as well, and we have some very happy animals up on the savannah, so the scimitar horned oryx, for example, would be one, and the zebras and the giraffe, and they're all interacting together, which is something that's very important to the animals in the zoo, that again, it's replicating the natural environment and they get the interaction with each other.
Yeah, and of course the zoo has been around, the Zoological Society has been around since I think about 1876, I think, around about that time, if I can remember.
The actual opening is 1831, even older than that again, so it's the same year as Charles Darwin would have set out in his voyage. So 1831, it's older than, London, Paris and Vienna are older than, is older than Dublin Zoo. But we're roughly the fourth oldest zoo in the world.
Yeah, that's some achievement, you know. And it was always in years gone by, if I remember, people were brought up there for maybe their first communion, particularly for their first confirmation. And the first thing they were always gassed at was the elephant. And the elephant, of course, could bring around people for a ride on his back. They had this thing like I don't think they had a mahout, but they had a keeper the elephant followed, and they had this sort of a harness, saddle type thing where about six kids or whatever could get up and go around and the zoo, and the elephant, it was a huge big elephant, and it had some name, but I can't remember what it was.
I can't remember the name myself, but I suppose the elephant program like that is something that is maybe synonymous with the zoo from olden days. And there were other things like the chimps tea party and experiences like that, which I suppose we've very much moved away from. You know, we are a centre of conservation. And when you mention about the elephants in the zoo, our current herd is an incredible, I suppose, herd, a natural herd with of Asian elephants. And if you, again, if people have come up to visit the Kasaringa Forest Trail, you'll see as you walk your way through the beautiful bamboo and you hear it move in the wind, you come across very slowly around a corner and boom, you see a beautiful vista of the elephants behaving very naturally. So Upali is our bull elephant who's there, and we have a really very, very successful elephant breeding program, which I suppose is world-renowned at this stage because it's a natural herd of elephants. And, you know, not all zoos are fortunate to have a natural herd, but we have a very successful program. We even have had a baby elephant born recently. She's yet to be named. We had an elephant born back in November called Zinda, another female, which is really critical and important for the species because they are endangered, and with more births like this in zoos, it's making a very positive future for these animals. So, and it's an experience that's completely unforgettable. Where would you get an interaction with seeing baby elephants playing very much normally and naturally as they would in the wild? It's pretty special. So no more do we have elephant rides and those kind of things. Everything is on the animal's terms. Mm-hmm. In Dublin Zoo. So we use something called protected contact. We don't come into contact with animals. We very much let them do what they want to do. Protected contact and the training that's involved with the elephants, for example, means that the elephants can come and decide if they want to train, if they want to have any kind of interaction with their keepers. And I suppose our whole focus in Dublin Zoo is on animal wellness. We want to ensure the animals in our care are very much getting top standard care, and they're behaving very much as they would in the wild.
Hello.
I'm just
the co-host here with on the program. Should we thank now for such having such a fabulous zoo? Because like through the years, they seem to be so progressive in their attitude. Like we seem to have left other zoos behind. I've had friends of mine come over from Paris and other places in Canada, and they're amazed at the progress that we have made in the Dublin Zoo. Has there been a continuous sort of a board there behind all the time, shaping it and pushing us forward in some way? Or am I missing someone who like yourself?
We do. The zoo is run by the Zoological Society of Ireland, and we do have a board that volunteers its time for in that position. And then our director, Leo Ostervagel, is, I suppose, the man that is gives us great vision about the way in which we should progress as a zoo. And Leo has been with us many years, and I suppose he is a person, along with the board, to kind of really thank you for this amazing development that we've had in the past number of years. It's really quite, you know, you're right. We get lots of people coming into the zoo daily. We get emails coming in all the time, just really, you know, congratulating us for all that we are doing here. And we do get zoos regularly coming to us and kind of taking a leaf out of our book and seeing maybe some of the practices that we adopt here that they can take back to their own zoos.
Well, it sounds
so
like the relation.
We're very fortunate.
Yeah, it seems like the relationship between our own zoo here in Dublin and other international zoos must be fantastic. And the cost of some of these animals and the setups and the plannings, it must be given to us, maybe not exactly freely, but in such a way that we can cope with the new animals and the new areas that we have to reconstruct and stuff like that. Have we got an international sort of a group as well to help us in this way?
Yeah, so we are part of a worldwide zoo association. So we have between Britain and Ireland, it's called BIASA, so it's the British and Irish Associations of Zoos and Aquaria. And then we have the same in Europe, there's a European-wide, network. And then we're also part of the World Association of Zoos and Aquaria. So we very much work with those zoos in terms of what are the best things for our animals. If there are going to be animal moves, we liaise with the stud book keeper who will make the decisions on which animals should breed and which animals should not. And so we're part of a wider network. So we while we do lead the way in lots of practices here, we are part of the wider network when it comes to working with animals.
Yes, and the zoo itself, like I say, expanded, like I say, we're talking about the African plains. I have people who come over from America every now and then, and the first place they head for is the zoo.
Absolutely.
And they're in thrall. And you can, of course, spend all day long in the zoo going around and looking at this. And they used to have magnificent peacocks at one time. I don't know whether you still have them or not.
And we still do, yeah.
And they're always reminded me of the lion house in days gone by. The poor lion was in a big cage, and it wasn't that big either. And all he did was walk up and down all day. He was like a goldfish going around in a bowl. But of course, all that's changed now. He could be out in
all of it's changed. And some, we have our Asian lions at the moment are in a new Asian forest down. As you come into the zoo, it'll be down to your left-hand side, and it's one of the first animals that you will encounter. And it's true, years ago, back in Robert's house is where their big cats would have been kept. And it was a very exciting thing that's happening currently, and I'm looking out over the construction as we speak. Robert's house was built in 1902, and it was the cat house, and it's very much coming, leaping forward into the past, which doesn't really make sense when I say that. But what we're working on at the moment, our Robert's house is changing into an amazing new experience called Jurassic World. So if you get any hints from the name, you'll realize that this is something... something to do with dinosaurs. So Jurassic World is going to be opening this summer. So this is the most recent development. And it's going to look at reptiles past and present. So it is going to be an absolutely incredible experience. I suppose looking at the reptiles of the past, which is our dinosaurs, we're going to have an incredible model, or cast, I suppose, of a T-Rex skeleton. And we're going to have some live reptiles in the space as well. And it's going to be like nothing else you've seen in Ireland. It's a mix of, I would say, natural history meeting with the zoo. So for any of your listeners out there who haven't thought, maybe they might not, you know, they may have not been in a few years and would like to visit, this is something I think people are going to absolutely love. So it's due to open in July, and we're working busily on it at the moment. And it looks like one of the most beautiful experiences that will come to the zoo. So the big old cat house has come a long way, and it's going to be a very, very different space when we open it in July.
Yes, and that's why I always pity the poor, you know, the lion walking up and down and wagging his tail. Now, with regard to the reptile house, now that was very small, but you did have I don't know if it was a caiman or it wasn't a crocodile, it was a smaller version, and maybe an alligator there at one time, and of course all sorts of snakes, and the keeper would take out the snake every now and then, big poison, and of course all the little kids would run out of the place. You'd be showing them.
You can get an awful fright. Well, as I was talking about there, we're going to get to see our reptiles in the most beautiful of habitats this coming July. So the reptile house that is there is basically going to move into her Robert's house, well, into Jurassic World. So it's going to be incredible. And I think people, they're going to really like the experience. It's going to be something very new.
And are the polar bears still with you?
We don't have the polar bears anymore. No, we don't have the polar bears.
But at the lake there, believe it or not, Johnny Weissmuller swam in it in the Tolteen Games way back in 1932.
Wow, that's a good that's a good memory. Yeah.
And he, of course, he was Tarzan later on in the film.
Oh, yes, of course, of course. So I think it's about time to talk about what is, I suppose, on offer for some of the older audiences in the zoo, because people think about Dublin Zoo, and it is, as you said, your friends from all over the world coming to visit it, and it is Ireland's number one family attraction. But within our department in Discovery and Learning, we have a team of volunteers and teachers who deliver lots of various activities for visitors to the zoo. And we run a program called Lifelong Learning. And that is, I suppose, kind of like what we've just been talking about, some of the things from the past and some of the things that are happening presently in the zoo. And it's a program that celebrates, I suppose, the knowledge of our older audience, because you've even brought up some things today that I didn't know about Dublin Zoo. And it celebrates that knowledge and the sharing of the knowledge between the older audiences and what's happening in Dublin Zoo today. So our Lifelong Learning program takes place on every second Wednesday of the month between February and October. And we have an incredible facilitator who talks about, I suppose, the changing role of the zoo and how zoos are here in place now for conservation and no more a kind of menagerie of animals as it was in the past. And it's an amazing space for people to learn so much. And I suppose we have to celebrate the fact that there is so much knowledge amongst people. And a lot of people who remember the Azu and who have been coming here for years and years, that there's so much knowledge to bring to the table. And then there's so much more to learn about what's going on nowadays with zoos, because they are really very different places. So that's something I think you're... Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I would say, the climate is changing and the atmosphere and where these animals lived, of course, has been it's been dwindled down by population and deforestation and a whole lot of other things.
Of course.
And the zoos will be the people... places where a continuation will be with regard to it. And the Dublin Zoo, I think, is at the forefront of all this. And your educational department as such, you're holding a lifelong learning. Now, maybe explain what lifelong learning means.
So lifelong learning is, I suppose, as I was saying, it's you know, we're always learning. I always say every day I walk into the Dublin Zoo, I learn something new. And I think as humans, we learn something new every day. And there's such knowledge that the older generation has that we want to kind of celebrate that. And we run the session every second Wednesday of the month. And it's led by one of our really experienced facilitators who basically it's the whole session starts off with discussion and sharing of knowledge about maybe the history of Dublin Zoo, the history of zoos in general, where they've come, the different things that would have happened in Dublin Zoo over the years or other zoos, and then where they're going and what's happening today. So the session starts with an indoor kind of discussion-based session for about 40 minutes. And then we get ourselves outdoors and we go for a tour around the zoo, kind of highlighting some of the historical features of the zoo and then some of the amazing success stories, such as our Manny breeding programs, some of the new developments with the zoo that are hugely successful. And the other side of it, we mustn't forget in Dublin Zoo, is the amazing plant life that we have in the zoo and the immersive experience we create for our visitors and for our animals. So the session always gets rave reviews. We get kind of varied audiences coming in from active retired groups to senior citizen groups, or sometimes if it's just individuals that want to book in as part of and join a larger group, we take individuals in that way also. But it's really a celebration about shared knowledge. You know, we've many people on our volunteer program, for example, who come from backgrounds in conservation, or they may have worked in conservation programs abroad, they may have worked in other zoos, and they bring so much knowledge. So they participate in our lifelong learning program.
Can you produce volunteers who help out in the zoo as such, like a person from...
We have an amazing group of volunteers. They support us in education events and they support us out and about in the very busy periods. We've just had a very busy 2 weeks with Easter, and our volunteers are crucial in meeting with the visitors to the zoo, giving them a help out if they need to know where the toilets are, if they have a question about any of the animals. Our volunteers support that, and they support some of our specialist events that we run in the zoo as well. So they are hugely important to the running of Dublin Zoo. And if anybody is interested in volunteering, our recruitment is between December and January. And if you keep an eye on our website, click on the volunteer section, it'll be released there as to when you can come along and apply to be a volunteer in Dublin Zoo. And we welcome people from all walks of life, all age groups, to come and apply if they're interested. And the minimum requirement is 2 shifts per month, which are 4-hour shifts, to be a member of the team. And it is hugely popular. We get hundreds of applications every year.
Yeah, and of course they give a dig out with even to directing people to whatever animals they want to see, etc.
Exactly, because Dublin Zoo is a very busy place, so they are the face of Dublin Zoo for us and really are a warm welcome to the zoo.
Yeah, I mean, the campus itself is expanded enormously. Now, is there any more facilities for your expansion, maybe into the Phoenix Park as such?
I suppose it's not a question I can answer. For now, there isn't an expansion. What we have expanded, I mentioned at the start of the conversation about orangutan forest, we actually expanded upwards for our animals in the orangutans to give them more space to climb and so on. So it's more three-dimensional in space. But for now, we won't be expanding, but we are still working on more developments. Jurassic World, I spoke about, yes. And then next year we are hoping that we will move to have a proper discovery and learning centre, so a proper education centre. So that'll be a kind of a move within the zoo. So we're very, very excited about that because we have an incredibly busy department and we have fantastic facilitators, staff and teachers that deliver programmes day in, day out in the zoo. It's really, our department is very, very popular.
Yes, and with regard to animals now, you've a huge variety of animals. And,
we do.
Lots of people would only know the basic ones, the hippopotamus and the elephant, and who are very visual because of their size. But you've quite a lot of very small little animals that people wouldn't even know what they are.
We do. We've about approximately 400 individual animals, and then there's, again, approximately 80 different species within the zoo. We have small, you know, insects down to small stick insects that we have in our department. Snakes, I saw that, where do you go? There's quite a lot. People are always more familiar with the larger animals. We say they're sometimes more charismatic. But we do have, if you come to the zoo, you mentioned earlier, coming to the zoo for an hour or 2 hours is really not enough time. You really need to plan your day out to see all of the amazing species that we have here.
And of course, you have a cafeteria there and a restaurant, and anybody could
stay. We do. We have three locations. So we have the Meerkat restaurant, just as you down towards the main entrance, and then we have Nakuru Cafe up in the African Plains, and then at Sea Lion Cove, another designated eating area. So we're well facilitated throughout the zoo, but there's also, of course, the option to bring your own packed lunch or a picnic, as we have loads of picnic tables throughout the zoo.
Yeah, that's fine. Now, with regard to, can people get an annual subscription to the new zoo, like pay for the year, in other words?
You can, an annual pass, that's correct.
Yeah.
So our annual pass, you can get an individual pass or a family pass, and details of that can be found on our website. So the annual pass, they're coming at very, very good value if you plan to visit the zoo. 3 to 4 times a year or more, it comes in at €180 for a family pass, 2 adults and 4 children. Mm-hmm. So really, really worth getting one of those, I would suggest. It also gives you discounts to some of our events, and it also gives discounts to some of the educational events.
Yes, and just the ordinary person turns up on the day. What is the charge?
So the charge, if a person to turn up on the day, would be €17.50 for an adult, and children cost €13. And if for those people who are interested into booking onto lifelong learning, the fee for that, if you come as part of a larger group, is €10 per adult. So that's for the lifelong learning program that happens on the second Wednesday of every month. So that's another option for the older audience.
And of course, now this time of year, you start to get busy and busier and busier. And of course,
absolutely.
During the summer, it's very nice. Now, do you have parking? Now, this is another question that people always ask us. Can you park? Well, of course, you can park in the Phoenix Park as such, but you might be just too near the zoo.
Yeah, I suppose the first thing, as Dublin Zoo always encourages people where possible to walk or take the bicycle or get the bus and walk up through the park. There is parking beside the zoo, and there's parking around the Phoenix Park. So there is that available to our visitors.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the bus stops at just at the gate, not too far from it.
It does.
Yeah, just at the back of the Garda depot.
And, it does, on the Infirmary Road, I believe it is. Yeah, just up at the North Gate entrance.
Yeah. And
there's plenty. There's plenty of transport options to get you to the Phoenix Park, and might be a short stroll from there to come into it.
Well, it's not too far, you know, and the stroll might do you good, because
exactly.
You'll be strolling. Around the zoo. The zoo for quite a long time, looking at all the amazing activity that's going on as such. And Aileen, we'd like to thank you for giving us an insight about the running of the zoo and about the animals as such. And I've no doubt that you started in 1830, whatever it is, but I think you'll be there for another 100 or maybe a couple of 100 years.
I think so.
Yeah, because the way you're conserving the animals and treating them and bringing them to the nearly natural environment as such, and of course then medication and also the vets and all this, we keep a very keen eye on them to see if there's anything wrong, you know.
We do. We take care of our animals. That's paramount, that we do to the best of our abilities.
And it's
the other thing I wanted to direct your listeners to is that it's to stay tuned to our social media and website. We do have an event coming up in September directed at senior citizens called Senior Safari, and that takes place on Wednesday, the 27th of September. So on the day, we have things like talks and tours available to, again, senior citizens. So stay tuned to our Facebook page and stay tuned to the website to find out more details for that, because we're a few months away from it, but I think your listeners would really, really enjoy the event. Well, we ran it last year, and the letters coming into us was... they were incredible. The older audience really, really loved it.
Well, lady, possibly we talked to just before that event, and you can
I'd be delighted to
describe what's about to happen, etc., and all the activities that are planned for that day. Now, on that note, Aileen, I'd like to thank you for coming on and give us an insight into the zoo, and we will be back to you prior to that event, and I would like to thank you for it.
Thank you, Aileen. Very good.
Thank you so much. Guys, that was fantastic.
Right.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Right. Bye.